Ready, Michael? All right, colleagues, good morning. I would like to call to order today's meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on Education for Monday, June 26, 2017. Colleagues, we are going to be following the printed agenda that you have in front of you. So with that notification, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 20A and ask Doug to talk us through it.
Mr. Chair, since I won't be here for the full meeting because the last two bills aren't mine, let me just bring up the date on the schedule this week. Be flexible. There are meetings for sure through Wednesday. I would likely think there's probably one on Wednesday or Thursday and maybe beyond that, depending. You have HEC is scheduled on Wednesday at this point in time if it goes, it gets all approved by the powers that be, and we'll have to do ODE by the end of the week by the sounds of it, and there's still quite a bit of work to do on that. So, and then in between there are a number of policy bills, some of which you're hearing today and some you've heard in public hearing like last week or the week before, that will go forward. So please be nimble and watch the calendars.
Nimble.
Senate Bill 20-A, you heard this in public hearing, I believe, last week. There are no amendments. This bill basically conforms the education laws around what had been No Child Left Behind, the old federal law. It replaces it with the new stuff from the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA. So it also talks about aligning the two law, state law with the federal law around the types of diplomas, mainly the modified diploma here in the state of Oregon. And it also aligns state statute regarding children in foster care, under the federal law, the child will remain in his or her home school district of origin unless it's been determined that it's not in the best interest for that child to stay in that school. It's that last item which has a fiscal impact. The fiscal impact should be available. It is indeterminate, but the budget for ODE will include some other funds limitation for payments made by DHS from federal funds maybe general fund also, but mainly with federal funds, paying the difference for school districts between the 70% transportation grant or whatever it is and the full cost of transporting those kids. Between DHS department and districts and ESDs, they are supposed to ensure that the child has free transportation between home and school, and we're setting up the mechanism to do that. This should save some federal funding, Title IV funding at DHS aside to use elsewhere. So with that, Madam Chair, I think a motion is in order.
Okay. Mr. Co-Chair.
Move Senate Bill 20 to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved the Senate Bill 20 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yeah, discussion.
Senator Monroe.
On the transportation costs, most school districts get reimbursed 70%, but there are some small districts that actually get 80% or 90%. So we would just be making up the difference between whatever that is and 100%.
I believe that's the case. I'm looking at the department. Shake their head, Mike. Yep. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for that confirmation, Senator. Any other discussion? Okay, so moved.
Any objections?
Oh, sorry, yes.
That was really good. I was going to think about saying no, but I didn't have a chance. So.
Nice try.
Okay, so moved.
I was going to, but no.
Okay, I'd like
carriers.
To... Carriers.
Oh, sure.
How about Senator Thompson to full into the Senate?
Great.
Oh, he is on full. That's right. Okay.
Remember me? I sit across from you.
This is really a couple down from me.
Any volunteers in the House side, or I'll take it?
I'll do it.
Okay. Representative Lively. Raised his hand first. Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 20 and open a work session on House Bill 2259A.
Madam Chair, these are one of two bills, 2259 and 2260, to deal with child care in front of you this morning. This one specifically authorizes the department, as in terms of the Office of Child Care and the Early Learning Division, to maintain information in a central background registry, which is an electronic record system. They may also complete foster care certificate or use to check the backgrounds using foster care certification checks, adult protective services checks, and a number of other databases that they can access in doing that. They may enroll someone if they meet all of the requirements for those back or clear the background checks, and they are to provide information to organizations or agencies about the enrollment of the status of people in the registry. So there is a small minimal fiscal impact on this. Excuse me, I'm getting these two bills. This is the one that actually does have quite a bit of fiscal impact. It will be in your ODE budget using federal funds for a number of new positions to do background checks and some other compliance activities. Keep in mind that the number of background checks and extensiveness now is much more for under the new federal law from a couple of years ago that they're doing FBI checks on people where they did not have to before, and doing full background checks on other like ERDC providers that they did not have to do as extensively or at all before.
Yep.
And there is no amendment on this bill.
Okay, thank you. Representative Parrish.
Thanks. So do we have a sense if the agency feels that these 25 FTE, because that's a lot of people, if that is a one biennium, we're going to get all these people through the background check, and then what happens next biennium, and where do the funds come from for those people?
Madam Chair, Representative Parrish, in the budget that you'll see 18 positions and not 25,
okay,
of which, and I don't have it in front of me, of which like three or four will be limited duration. The rest will be permanent, but keep in mind the ongoing new requirements are much more extensive and much broader in nature. So there is some catching up to do, but then there is just a long ongoing relationship.
But the question I have is, where do the funds come from in the subsequent biennium? A lot of times we do things because we have a one-time bucket of federal funds, and then suddenly we have to make up for that with state funds, and then we don't have that money, and we're just driving our current service level for general fund obligation higher and higher, and that a little bit of there.
Madam Chair, Representative Parrish, in fact, for this one, we'll be using Child Care Development Block Grant funds, no general fund. But what that means is there'll be less money flowing to the ERDC program, which is the largest user of that. They have cut down the cost by over $2 million of this package. You'll see in the ODE budget, and we've also tried to push a few more federal funds to the ERDC program to hold those losses at a minimum.
Still trying to get to what happens 2019-21 budget. That's the piece that I'm concerned about. Is
Madam Chair, Representative Parrish, will continue to use the Child Care Development Block Grant funds.
Okay. Because the new federal requirements will, unless they are rolled back, we will continue to follow those requirements, which indeed require a higher level of background.
Sorry.
I was not trying to skirt your question. I thought
yeah.
Monday. It's early.
Okay. Senator Monroe.
Yeah, I move House Bill 2259A to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved House Bill 2259A to the full committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yeah.
Senator Monroe.
Committee members, your co-chairs took a hard look at this budget and actually trimmed it back considerably from what the original request was. We think that what is left is an absolute minimum to meet necessary requirements for this program.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Okay, if not, so moved.
Carriers.
We need carriers for House Bill 2259. Representative Wisnett, do you want to take this one?
I'll trade with John on this one.
Yeah.
I'll trade.
Do you want to go to the full end to the floor?
Sure.
Okay. Representative Wisnett to the full end to the floor and to the floor of the Senate?
I'm fine either way.
Okay. Senator Roblin to the Senate.
Okay. And with that, close the work session on House Bill 2259A and open a work session. Open a work session on Senate Bill 2260. Oh. Or is that a typo? Thank
that
you.
Is a typo.
I would therefore like to close the hearing on the imaginary Senate Bill 2260 and open a hearing on the actual House Bill 2260.
Madam Chair, again, this is another child care bill affecting the Office of Child Care in the Early Learning Division. It directs the child care office to maintain a website on certified and registered child care facilities, authorizes them to maintain information about child care facilities and providers through electronic record system. It permits them to share information on investigations and inspections with other entities around the health and safety of the children, clarifies complaints may be received and investigated by the office, and prohibits disclosing identifying information on individual or on an entity that made the complaint. There is a minimal fiscal which will be covered within the ODE budget for this. There is an amendment on this bill. It adds an emergency clause to the bill. I know folks don't like to add emergency clauses, but there's still there are things under the federal law that need to take effect prior to the effective date of the bill if it did not have an emergency clause.
And that is the dash A3 dated 6/22 in the OLIS. I'm not sure why it's on there twice, but I'm assuming it's the same one. Okay. Senator Thompson.
Just a question. How much have we gotten assistance with this program? When was it reauthorized? Like 2014?
I believe it was 2014.
Any idea how much this is brought in?
I don't think it really increased the child, Madam Chair, Senator Thompson, I don't think it increased the child care development block grant. It just sort of put new demands on the program.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Representative Parrish.
Thanks. So looking at the bill, it says that it allows that this website is going to be able to share provider information with other entities. Doesn't say anything about sharing with the public. Do we know anything about how the public will get to find out if there are complaints? I'm sure some of you read the article and we're going in over the weekend, and I think that there is a lot of concern and continues to be concern around safe providers, and we've seen kind of story after story since I've been here, whether it's people busted for pot in their daycares or whatever, that there is concern that parents don't have access to good information about if they're sending their child to a safe provider. So I'm kind of concerned that we would pass a bill about a website and not make it publicly forward-facing to the people who are buying the service.
And I'm sure I would like someone from the agency to come up on this one, because I'm not on the policy side of it. Not an expert.
And I'd also like to, after that, also, Representative Lively, your committee heard this bill in the policy committee, too. So if you had anything to add, I just wanted to give you that opportunity as well.
Good morning, committee members. Lisa Panera with the Early Learning Division. Madam Chair, Representative Parrish, that website will indeed be a public website.
It will be? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because it doesn't say it in the bill, so I want to make sure that happens. So thank you.
And I also, thank you, Lisa. Any other questions for Lisa? Okay. I also wanted to say, I know that when we had a joint hearing with a sub on human services, it's that balance between the two, because on the other side, I know Representative Wisnett has had some issues in his area about centers being closed with and the department plays a very delicate balance between wanting to be responsible to concerns and not wanting to overreact and close down childcare and throwing lots of families out of that option. So it's yet another way where we ask them to do many things at the same time, and that balancing between those two ends is, I think, always going to be a challenge. So, Representative Lively, any other?
Well, the only other thing I would add, there are also local resources available that provide information that people I know in our area, the community college, so there's a referral to childcare and that they maintain records and who's available and who isn't, and some of those ratings information. So there's other information besides this, but Madam Co-Chair, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there's a balance here on, the problem is we don't have enough available regardless. And so trying to make sure that we keep what we have available and that they're reading the requirements, and that is a real struggle. And if they violate it, we have to do something about it. But the long-term goal is to find a way to have more child care. But I'm a strong proponent of the website, and having information available at least is a step in the right direction for people to have a central place they can go to get information.
Well, I mean, I think given, Madam Chair and co-chairs, I think given some of the information that have come out in some of these more egregious stories, you know, if you've got broken arms or violations or what have you, as a parent, I mean, all my kids went to daycare, so I'm super sensitive to the cost of daycare, access of daycare, people who can take infants. That's all mine were in diapers at the same time. You know, so I'm very sensitive to that. And I think that it's if we're funding daycare in this state and there are people with complaints, that should, just like you can go and look up your doctor if your doctor's been sued, I think that it's important that we make sure that that information is absolutely available to parents. And it has not been heretofore in a meaningful way. And I think parents who send these their kids to places that have multiple violations, you know, when they do find out, they're shocked. And it's our responsibility to make sure they have that information. Even if there's a shortage of daycare providers, I'd rather not work than send my kid to a crappy provider. I mean, that's all there is to it. I would find out a way to make that work in our family. But, you know, I think that parents have that right. And as much information as we can put in front of them to make choices that impact their children, I think is critical.
Thank you.
Ready for a motion?
Further, almost. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank the Madam Chair, for mentioning my concern, because I have run into that. Also, I think it was this year, we had a briefing demonstration by 211 operators that they're now referring. Daycare is one of their big businesses, is helping people find daycare. So I would ask the division to be sure that they, in their rules or something, include being sure that the 211 system are looking at these reports too, to be sure they're not referring someone that's got a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, I think we're ready for the motion, Mr. Co-Chair.
Madam Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the A3 amendment to House Bill 2260.
Senator Monroe has moved the A3 amendment to House Bill 2260. Any further discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Madam Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2260 as amended by the A3 amendment to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved House Bill 2260 as amended to the full Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So moved.
Carriers.
Okay, let's see who's carried so far. Representative Hernandez, do you want to go to the floor of the House? And then to the full. Senator Roblin, have you gotten one yet today?
No. Well, I hope to get a couple, at least one more, but I do. I'm happy with this.
How about you to the floor and to the full committee? And with that,
I said that to you.
Hearing, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2260. Okay.
That's right.
So we'll open them both.
It was tough.
Well, no, we'll do the public hearing first.
Okay. Okay. In rules, we sometimes do them together. You know, we do make things differently here as well. Yes, clearly. Great. Okay. Next on our agenda, we're going to move to a public hearing on Senate Bill 867.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 867 establishes a 17-member task force on maritime sector workforce development. The task force is charged with studying and developing a description of the scope and extent of the maritime sector and its workforce in Oregon and make recommendations to the State Workforce Investment Board. The task force must report to the State Workforce Investment Board and the legislature by September 15, 2018. The Association of Oregon Counties is directed to provide staff support to the task force, and members of the task force who are not members of the legislative assembly are not entitled to compensation or reimbursement for expenses and serve as volunteers on the task force. And task force sunsets on December 31st, 2018, and the bill has a minimal fiscal impact in the next biennium.
Okay, thank you, Krista. Okay, we have four people signed up, so I'm just going to call you up two at a time. So first I'd like to call up, Representative Brock Smith is one of the sponsors. Would you like to come forward? And Senator Roblin, I know you're on this bill. Do you want to join him, or
I'm
do you
fine.
Want to stay
at
the
back? I'll let him.
Okay.
But I'll come up. I'll come over.
I'll keep it. Because I know you'll keep your yourselves brief that way.
Very brief.
I mean, next to each other.
I will nudge him. Yes.
And vice versa.
Yes.
We can take bets on who will be the shortest, if you'd like.
I think I would win that, because I'm always the shortest. Get it.
Yeah, the gamble.
Yeah.
Okay, for the record, Senator Arne Roblin, Senate District 5, Coos Bay, Tillamook Bay, Sheridan, and Falls City. Good bill should pass.
Oh.
Madam Co-Chair, David Brock-Smith, State Representative, House District 1, Brookings Harbor to Charleston, over to West Roseburg, down to West Cape Junction. Good bill should pass. He's correct. OCCMA fully supports this bill, as well as the Coastal Caucus. I have five ports in my jurisdiction, not as many as the senator. But it's time, having been a former commissioner and been involved with the Workforce Investment Board, this is a bill that is necessary for our fishers in our state. We passed an earlier piece of legislation, House Bill 2499, that dealt with vessel permits so that we can have opportunities for younger folks to get into the fishing industry. And this is just perfect timing. Appreciate it.
Great.
I'll come back, but there's a couple things because he left out a few things. There's a lot of people out in the ocean working from Oregon, and we hardly ever see them. Oftentimes we see their families because they live in Oregon, but they're merchant marines, they're in the Navy, there are all sorts of people in this maritime industry that we need to recognize and capture as who we are. And there are lots of jobs out there for maritimers that we want our kids to have access to. We've got two community colleges that are actively engaged in part of it, but we need to do more. Washington, when they switched over and started the maritime industry, it became, I think, the second largest industry in their state. Before that, people didn't know. We're in that same situation right now. I think most people have no clue about how big the maritime industry really is in the state and who all is involved. And we would like to make sure, and the counties are willing to help us, which is really helpful, so it doesn't really cost anything. So thank you.
Great. Any questions for these witnesses? Okay. Thank you both. Next, Bud Shoemail or Shoemate or Shoemake? Okay. Can't see the legs on that K. And Travis Turner, please.
Go right ahead, Travis. So I'm Travis Turner. I'm from the Tongue Point Job Corps Center in Astoria, Oregon, and we have a maritime program. We recently expanded from 60 to 120 students, and you just heard from the other two individuals that this bill should pass, and I want to show you why it should pass. So if we look at the statistics and we look at employability after the students leave our program, if we look at the CT10 report, we're showing on average they're making a higher wage. What does that mean for the Oregonians? It means a higher tax rate. So that's why I'm here. My goal is to establish some type of higher education utilizing not only the community college, the students going from the Job Corps into MERTS, the MERTS campus next door at Clatsop Community College, and then eventually leading them down into OSU. So we are really raising the next generation of mariner, and that's why I believe this bill should pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Madam Co-Chair and Senator Moreau. My name is Bud Shoemake, and I'm the port manager in Toledo, Oregon. And in Lincoln County, the maritime industry is our number one industry as far as net income. The Port of Toledo has a boatyard, the build-out of this boatyard is about 160 new jobs to the state. And so I'm faced with the challenges of trying to fill those positions. So it's really important that we recognize the industry and we support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for these? Yes, so Senator Roblin.
Just for the record, how many of those 160 jobs at Tillamook are by the port, and how many are by private industry that are working there?
There's about 50 of them that are port employees, and then the rest are statewide and local.
Yep, businesses.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you both for your testimony.
Thank you.
Tony Erickson and Doug Hunt, please.
You can go first.
All right. Good morning, Co-Chairs Monroe and Smith Warner, members of the committee. Honored to be here today. I am Tony Erickson. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Oregon Aero, a small aerospace company located in Scappoose, Oregon, about 60 about 65 employees. I'm also the chair for Northwest Oregon Works, the local workforce investment board for Benton, Clatsop, Columbia, Lincoln, and Tillamook counties. I'm speaking in support of Senate Bill 867, not just because of its positive work impact on workforce development in the maritime sector in these five counties, but because of the positive impact for all Oregonians. The maritime sector produces real opportunities to create good-paying family wage jobs up and down the coast and all along the Columbia River and other waterways well inland. Lewiston, Idaho, for example, is a seaport for this inland on the west coast. The maritime sector is expansive and includes everything from shipping, maintenance, construction, railways, education, commercial, recreational, fishing, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Development of the sector provides real opportunities for excellent employment in rural communities where unemployment rates are typically higher than urban areas. And the steady development and support of the sector by a dedicated task force and the state workforce investment board, as well as support from the local workforce investment boards, is essential to growing the sector and increasing family wage opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you. Doug Hunt, Lincoln County Commissioner. And I have the honor of chairing the Marine Task Force or Marine
Work Group.
Committee, Workforce Work Group, that has identified, I think, four different goals. And certainly you've heard comments today that talk about, I think we all intrinsically know the value of the maritime sector, but when it comes to measuring it and being able to identify it and help promote it, we really don't have the basis, foundation of knowledge to do that. So this task force is that first step in what I see as a longer objective of creating educational programs. You've heard about possibilities through the community colleges, and then also workforce sector strategies where we can train workforce individuals to work in the maritime sector. So I think it's important from that standpoint. The other two points I'd like to make is certainly this is not a Newport or Lincoln County-centric objective. There are, as you've heard, many ports along the coast from your fellow representatives and legislators. But there's also big ports in Morrow County, Umatilla County. So it's a statewide industry. And finally, Lincoln County is willing to provide money, as will be providing money and support of AOC staff as we go on this journey. So thank you for your support.
Thank you. Any questions for these folks? Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that's everybody who has signed up. Is there anyone else here who would like to testify on Senate Bill 867 before we close the public hearing? No? Okay. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 867 and open a work session on Senate Bill 867.
Madam Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 867 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Monroe has moved Senate Bill 867 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Lively.
So I'd just like to say thanks to those that brought this forward, because while I've traveled up and down the coast and saw the ports, and it really, until we had this conversation today, didn't think about the total impact it could have from a job standpoint, the breadth of those jobs. So I think this is money and time well spent to spend more on this.
Amen. Thank you. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wonder, Senator Roland, are there any scenic waterway areas involved in this study?
I would say that from the perspective of this task force, scenic waterways are probably not one of the criteria that we've worked on.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Building bridges, though, we do like to do. Just kidding.
That was mean.
He asked the question.
No further discussion? Any objection? Okay, so moved. So we need carriers. I hate to double count, but Senator Roblin to the full committee and to the floor.
Would love to do so.
And Representative Brock Smith to the House floor. And with that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 867. And open a... Thank you. Open a public hearing on Senate Bill 111.
Okay.
Oh, is that you too, Krista?
Yes. Okay. Madam Chair, just Senate Bill 111 does have an A6 amendment online, which does replace the measure The A6 permits school districts or education service districts to submit an application to the Department of Education to request aid in facilitating collaboration between the districts and entities that have experience with providing assistance in funding school nursing services, including Medicaid billing. A minimum of 9 applications must be selected for this assistance, and the Department of Education must submit a report to the Legislative Assembly no later than October 1st, 2020, on the outcomes of this assistance and an analysis on the cost benefits to the districts.
Thank you, Krista. Representative Wisnett has moved to speak to testify on Senate Bill 111. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Welcome. Chair. Mr. Chair and honorable committee members, for the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Representative, House District 53. I'll be short. We had a really, committee had an excellent briefing on Medicare billing and school nurses, and this is an important bill for me that I've worked many sessions on with other people, including Representative Kotek. I think Senator Monroe helped us one time move a bill. Yep. We need more school nurses. You heard that data. We came into this task force, Senator Monis Anderson and I together as the representatives on the committee. We spent a lot of meetings, got a lot of data. I was going to bring my folder of all the data we studied. The bottom line is school nurses are invaluable to the success of the students in our system, and we need more school nurses. I would ask the committee members to look at the staff summary prepared. It's excellent. It really tells why we need more school nurses. Talks about how the percentage of Medicare eligible students has increased from 27% to 58%, and that's why there's so much possibility of money to provide more nurses in our school. Again, I'm not going to go through. You've heard all these briefings. To be honest, full disclosure, I wanted to mandate it. I didn't get the support to mandate it, to start it sooner. This is going to start it, and we hopefully will demonstrate to other school districts you shouldn't oppose going after money to help your students. Everyone should do it, and it sets up a system to train people how to do it. So since I've been advised, since we had the presentation in this committee, ODE, and I appreciate Mitch Kursik and Jan McComb for really working with me, a lot of changes to this bill and amendments. But since we had the presentation of this committee, school districts are calling in saying to OD, how can you help me make these claims? So objectives to get more school nursing, to make those kids healthy, happy, and successful in school. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Senator Roblin.
So in filling out an application to get help, are ESDs available for that? Because in some of the rural areas, it's the ESD that really organizes the program and then works with the school districts to make it as easy as they can to do it. And I know in our districts down the South Coast, it was the ESD that really got forms to us and helped us figure it out. So I hope that that can be part of the process if it isn't already.
Madam Chair, Senator Roblin. I hope you won't cut me off for chocolate, because Josie.
Okay, never cut you off from chocolate.
I don't know if ODE is going to testify, but what we're trying to do, in my understanding, Senator, is that we're going to start off McNomah ESD has been most successful. We're going to let them sort of lead people and direct people how to do this. The more you can centralize it, I think we'll have more success and take off help schools. Work their way through the system. So ODE will be writing the rules of how they're going to work it, but it's collaborative. We know that some small schools, it just would not be in their capability. And, of course, one of the amendments said that schools could opt out. But anyway, we got a project, and we're moving forward, and that's what we want to do.
Okay. Further questions? Representative Parrish.
Well, not so much a question, but a comment more than anything. First of all, Representative Wisnett, school nurses could not be here today to back you up. The leadership of the Oregon School Nurses Association, I got a text from them yesterday desperately, please let them know we support this. They are in San Diego doing continuing education conference, but wanted to thank you for your work, so I wanted to pass that on from them. I think this bill's critically important, and colleagues, if you've never been out and spent a day with a school nurse in your facilities in your school districts, I would highly recommend it. I've got one of the board members for OSNA is the is my constituent, and I spent, she's a nurse site supervisor in Beaverton Schools, and I went out one day and spent an entire day with her and just followed her around to see what she does. And it's pretty incredible, the sheer volume of workload and caseload that they have. And then she will be a panelist with me this summer on an event, August 23rd. People are welcome to come, but trying to break down the walls between that K-12 and healthcare dollars, and how do we get more of them back in the classroom. So they are really behind Gene on this bill, and wanted to convey that support for him today.
Thank you. Senator Monroe.
Yeah, people might be wondering why this is not on for work session today. My understanding is there might be some language problems, and they're still working on it. I strongly support this bill, of course, and we will be working this bill and passing it out sometime later this week. So I didn't want people to get excited, because usually when you see something public hearing only, you think, uh-oh. But that's not the case with this bill. We will get it going as soon as we get the language correct out of Legislative Council. I remember my first year as a teacher. This would have been 1965. Some of you weren't born yet. And I remember, Diego, and I remember my home room was right across from the ladies' restroom. And so all of a sudden I heard this screaming, and I go out in the hall, and this girl is saying, "Come in here, come in here." Well, I don't usually go in the women's bathroom, you know. I mean, it's just not something I'm used to doing, and here I am, a 22-year-old rookie teacher in my first year. So finally, she convinced me to go in there, and this girl had passed out on the floor. And so I scooped her up, and she wasn't a little girl. She was probably 150 pounds, and I scooped her up and carried her to the office and put her on the nurse's cot, and the nurse was right there. We had a nurse in every school in those days. And the nurse got right to work and found out what the problem was, and it wasn't anything real serious. She just fainted, passed out. Sometimes girls do that, I guess. Anyway, that was my big experience as a first-year teacher with interaction with the school nurse. We need them in every building.
Madam Chair, I thank Representative Parrish for her comments and the two co-chairs for your support in moving this bill. We also, OSCA, I don't know who's speaking today, but I think they're a big supporter, because they're taking on a lot of responsibility in schools for nursing, and that's very dangerous for them and us. And I think that with the current bill, I think OSBA and COSA and all those things are supportive. Thank you for both of you.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to call Bonnie O'Hearn and Soren Metzger.
Good morning, co-chairs and members of the committee. My name is Soren Metzger, and I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon School Employees Association. We represent school support personnel throughout the state, including secretaries, instructional educational assistants, we have actually worked with Representative Wisnett and Senator Lori Montes Anderson on this issue for the past year, and we were also members of the Task Force on School Nursing. This is a very important issue to us, as Representative Wisnett mentioned, just because until we adequately staff our schools with school nurses, a lot of these complex medical procedures are being delegated to instructional and educational assistants and school secretaries. These are folks who are not medically trained. They are not nurses. They are not nursing assistants. They are not medical assistants. And they're being delegated these tasks because the nurses, if a district does have a nurse, has a caseload that is so huge that they can't possibly get around to all of these nurses. My understanding is that school nurses would much rather do these procedures themselves instead of having non-medical professionals provide these services. And should something go wrong, my understanding is it would be under their license. We do have a school nurse here who can talk a little bit more about that. That being said, we did look at the A6 amendment. I did submit testimony when this bill was in the Senate Education Committee. We are in support, and we just feel that this is a step in the right direction. If we can begin to bill Medicaid, hopefully that will bring more money into the school district so that they can begin to hire additional school nurses. So with that, thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Bonnie O'Hearn, and good morning to the chair and co-chairs and persons. My first time, but thank you very much for all your supports. And I am a school nurse, and I am here to support the school nursing Medicaid billing bill here, the SB 111. And coming from two other states that we did do a lot of billing, I mean, I've billed for probably 12 years as a school nurse in my school district, and the funding came back to nursing. Oh, it generated so much financial stability for us with upgrades in screenings, visual screenings, attending to having maybe only one school versus the six I have now. And I can be out there to those students and helping staff, train them to know to help me. So better training gives more comfort to the office staff. So it isn't anything that's going to hit the pocketbook so much of the taxpayer. It's coming from monies that's already in, you know, the medical federal funding. So I don't see why it wouldn't be something to go through and pass. And I've reaped, as a school nurse for 14 years, the benefits of that money. And it didn't hurt my neighbor who might have had a big home or a small home. It didn't hurt anybody. It helped everybody in the long run. And with mental health on the rise, it can go to funding to help us better educate teachers and staff on how to find ways to or venues for those people with mental health in our school districts. So I really hope you all get together and work on that and pass it. Thank you. I met you the first time, and you brought up some really good points when you were a principal or at your district and the need for nurses. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for these witnesses? Thank you both.
Thank you.
And then Nikki Zimmer?
Zimmerman.
Got to write it all the way out.
Good morning, Chair. And I'm honored to be able to be here and show support for this bill. My name is Nikki Zimmerman. I'm a school nurse at Roosevelt High School, and I'm also president of the Oregon School Nurses Association, the last one of the board getting ready to go to San Diego. So we were that's a national conference. So emails and texts were flying fast and furious. Who can go? A few things I want to say. It's already, if you look at the statistics, it's already fairly well established that Oregon has a school nurse shortage. On average, there is one nurse, school nurse for every 4,500 students, roundabout. And luckily in the Tri-County area, we tend to have the best of it. Our school ratios are a little better, but that doesn't help. There is still a certain liability of not having enough school nurses and not having enough training. And I want being able to do all that. And there are also over 60 some, I think there's 68 school districts in the state that have absolutely no school host services. That's about eight, that represents their small school districts. It represents about 20,000 students. And they're not reporting any health problems with their things, but that's because they don't have a venue to do that. But statistically, they should have about, they would expect about 915 asthmatics, 46 diabetics, 123 students with seizure disorders. And so those are all things that without training or having to know what to do or having a nurse being able to make sure that they're taken care of, not only at school, but on field trips or anything, it opens up a huge liability. NASN's motto is to keep kids healthy, safe, and ready to learn, and that's what we do. The very first school nursing back in the 1860s was here to establish attendance and cooperation in New York, and that's what we've been doing ever since. The Chief Education Officer's report said that school nursing is one of the vital pieces for student success. And with the planning and stuff, there may be clinics and stuff nearby the schools, and some people think that they could be a resource for this to help them, even school clinics on the school grounds. But they are not there to do the training and make sure that the safety plans are all enacted for that. That's not their role. So I just would like to encourage your all support for Senate Bill 111. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Good job.
Okay. Thank you so much.
On a side note, I'm sorry, I work for MESD, and they are not only able, but they're more than willing, from what I've heard, to be able to help with getting that all set up. So.
And
thank you.
I just say, just a comment. When you have school nurses that are there, things like, you know, we tell kids they can't be at school if they haven't had their medications by a certain date. It really is good to have a nurse that can look through those records and find other little things on those records. All of a sudden, they find out this person's got a seizure disorder that wasn't sent to them because they're looking at the records to try to find out things. And all of a sudden, you avert a problem because the school nurse actually knows what they're looking at in those records and trying to figure out how to make the school a safer place for all those kids. And that is very different than having your own clinic on a campus. And I really did appreciate that comment because clinics are great. It's a nice place to send kids that are having a problem. But it's the preventative stuff that school nurses really work at to make schools a healthier and safer place for kids. So I'm excited about the bill. And it would be nice to have more school nurses, even if we had to mandate them. But I understand where we're at. So.
Okay. Any other comments, colleagues? Anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 111? If not, I'll close the public hearing. And with that, any further business, Risa? Okay, everybody, please keep 8:30 to 9:45 in your calendars, I would propose, for the whole week, and keep an eye on the...
We better all hold our co-chair to his promise that this bill's coming back, too.
With that, committee is adjourned.